The stories of six women come together in Healing and Hope, Powerful Journeys from Addiction to Recovery. They represent a cross-section of the women who have gone through the Betty Ford Center during its first 20 years. Black, white, Hispanic, and Asian, single, married, divorced, and widowed. According to center psychologist Nancy Waite O'Brien, what they have in common is a serious problem that was considered not important.
Women alcoholics are often seen as having some other problem, maybe a psychological problem or an emotional problem, and so it's not often diagnosed. Families don't even see it. They'll think that mom drinks a little too much, or she mixes the alcohol with the pills, and they don't really see that as alcoholism or addiction. And as a result, women don't get the help, and they die more frequently than men. Our culture looks at women alcoholics and addicts very differently than it does men. And as a result of that, women feel more shame and more guilt about being alcoholics than men do.
Paula, one of the women profiled in Mrs. Ford's book, remembers feeling that shame and guilt, not just for herself, but for her family, even after she checked herself into the Betty Ford Center.
I was concerned that it would affect my husband's job. You know, he had climbed that corporate ladder, and instead of being a stigma, people respected me and admired me for getting help. But I had tremendous shame and guilt because of my addiction.
Part of the shame comes from the perception of alcoholics as homeless, helpless, or dangerous. Psychologist Waite O'Brien says when former First Lady Betty Ford talked about her addiction, she helped change that stereotype.
What Mrs. Ford helped us understand is that addiction is an equal opportunity illness, and that anybody, no matter their socioeconomic class, could become alcoholic or addict. And that brought people into treatment.
The women in Mrs. Ford's book took different paths to treatment. Jacqueline, a married nurse with two young daughters, came to the center after an arrest for drunk driving. Harriet ruined her career as a paralegal, destroyed a romantic relationship, and almost committed suicide before seeking help. For Paula, who'd gone through two unsuccessful treatment programs, it was a loving family moment.
I was isolated at home with the shutters drawn, phone off the hook, in my robe. I walked in the kitchen to get some more ice for my vodka, walked in to get more ice, and my daughter had come home. And I looked at her. She gave me the sweetest smile. For the first time, not giving me that look of disgust and not again, Mom. She gave me a smile. And I walked over and I threw my arms around her and I started to cry and I said, Tracy, I need help. And at that point, my husband came home and we all hugged and we cried and I called the Betty Ford Center and they saved my life as well as my family's life.
According to psychologist Nancy Waite O'Brien, one of the reasons the Betty Ford Center has been so successful in helping Paula and other women recover from their addiction is its emphasis on group support.
Alcoholic women often don't have much experience having other women as friends. They often don't know much about being taught or mentored by other women. And so in treatment, women helping women sets a model for long-term recovery.
Years after completing treatment at the Betty Ford Center, these women return there every autumn to celebrate their sobriety and express gratitude to the place where they found the strength and tools to get and stay sober. For Coast to Coast, I'm Faith Lapidus.